and welcome to Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way with Noreen Sumpter. I am not Noreen. She just got here. I'm going to hand you over right now.
Aww. Yay! Big hand. Woo!
Woo! So I made it. Oh, my God. Can you believe I left Brooklyn at, 8:39?
Wow.
8:39, right? It is now... What is it?
Just past nine.
9:01. Tell me I'm not a rock star.
Amazing. So,
thank you, Rue, for stepping in. This is amazing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. What are we going to do? Tell jokes and stuff?
We had a whole routine for you.
She said, work it out. So thank you so much. Yeah, guys, let me just like get myself together here, get my composure. This is not the Jay Leno, the Johnny Carson show to whoever. This is the Noreen Sumpter show. And like I said, I just made it from Brooklyn, got on the train at 8:39 and got in the elevator at 9:00. I am late. I do not like being late for my show. But anyway, it is Tuesday night. And you all know what Tuesday night is. It is my favorite time of the year, of the week, and it's when I get to play with you and when I get to introduce amazing people to my show. So, oh my God, I'm not even going to go into what my weekend was like. I mean, at this point, the blood is rushing to my head and it's trying to figure stuff out because I'm still trying to get myself sorted. I think I'm in shape, but not as good a shape as I'd like to be. So it's taking me a little bit here to get myself composed. And why am I late? I'm late because my brother just flew in from London. So say hello to my brother.
Hi.
His name is Bunny. We call him BJ. I call him Bunny. And thank you, darling. And so I was waiting for him and his baggage, he lost his baggage. So he had to wait an hour for that. Was it an hour? He had to wait an hour for his baggage. He's supposed to be here since 6:00, which, you know, I like to be on time, but he wasn't. And so then he gets to my front door and he calls me up and he says, where are you? Where's 153? He's like way down the block. You can't count, you know. But any case, we jumped in a cab, got to the station, jumped on the train and finally made it. So I'm really, really happy. So tonight I have a great show with Jack Cashin. Always calling you Cushion.
Oh, man.
Or Kason. I'm like, it's Cashin, like cash money, right? So tonight I have a really great show with Jack Cashin, who is the founder of the Soloist Collective. Right?
Actually, one of the organizers.
One of the, you don't call yourself a founder?
No, there's a whole bunch of us who are working
okay,
on it.
Okay, so he's one of the organizers. I called you the founder because, like, you'd be working, boy, I tell you, right? The Soloist Collective. And if you don't know what the Soloist Collective is, then you're not, you know, you're not in and you're not on it, right? So it's networking. It's all about networking. And he's going to share with us why they started this, what the purpose is, what they're committed to, and what they're trying to create in the nation, right? It's a you want to bring it national.
Absolutely.
Right? So now I'm gonna like turn it over to him and just have him introduce himself and we're gonna get to know a little bit about Jack and we're gonna get to know a bit about the collective.
Well, Noreen, thank you so much for having me tonight. This is actually my first time ever on the radio.
Woohoo! So I've heard it's the best ever.
Oh, great. So we're gonna roll with it here. But yes, my name's Jack. I've been here in New York for a little over 5 years. I moved here right after I graduated college. I grew up in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Technically, I was born in New York City, but I'm really a Massachusetts guy. Mm-hmm. But I've lived here, hopping between Manhattan and Brooklyn, currently living in Brooklyn with my fiance. Mm. And I've been in the startup world ever since I moved here.
Right.
And
so have you actually made some money since you've been in the startup world?
You know, it's a long effort. I've been able to pay rent for myself, but the company isn't working at, you know, I'm working on my third startup here.
Okay.
At this point, Prefer.
What was your first startup?
It was called Amicus. Okay. And I got into it because I loved the problem we were trying to solve. It was basically trying to make phone banking for political campaigns a lot more exciting and also make you a lot more effective at it. So our idea was that we were going to take the list of everybody that a campaign might want to call. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you were going to run for mayor of New York, you'd want to call all the voters in New York. But we would figure out how to make it so that I could call my friends of friends, and my neighbors before you having me start calling people I've mm-hmm. never met before. And that was great. I really cared about the causes we were working on. But the company, we had some oversights. We missed some things. Mm-hmm. I think it was a lesson for me in terms of leadership, in terms of thinking about how important I think oversight is and how important mentors are, mm-hmm. To really make sure that your company you're working at is going on the right track. Mm-hmm. And while there were amazing people, ultimately that company didn't make it, and that was really hard.
And what did you learn from that?
Well, I think one thing that was important is that there's just some things you can't control. You have to roll with it. You have to make the best of the situations that you have. Mm-hmm. I think I learned that even in a failing effort, there's a lot you can learn, a lot of skills that you can build, and a lot I think you can learn about yourself. And I think one thing that I really appreciated coming out of a first job where it wasn't going to be there anymore, was how many opportunities there are to do amazing things in a city like New York.
So that's true. I don't want to put a pin in that for a second. But so coming out of that, what was the experience for you? Did you get into a depression? Did you go into a slump?
It was scary. I watched a lot. I think I watched the entire series of Parks and Recreation in a 2-week period. Uh-huh. It's great. But no, I didn't really know what I was going to do. I think something I'd really believed in and something I really cared about all uh-huh. of a sudden wasn't there. And I think that's a really hard thing to figure out what to do next.
And what was that thing after watching 2 weeks worth of Parks and Recreations, the whole entire creation mm-hmm. of it all? What was the one thing that got you back in the game of life?
You know what? It was a mentor of mine. His name's Jeff Coleman. Mm-hmm. He had been my boss at the prior company who had moved on prior to the company folding and gave me an opportunity to come work with him mm-hmm. and to open up a door to a new opportunity to not only work with him again, but think about a whole new way that I could apply some of these skills and things I really cared about in a whole setting. And I think what really opened that up for me was this thought that there's not any one thing that you're destined to do. There's so many different ways. If you find something that you really care about, you can figure out how to make it work. Right. And he gave me that opportunity to get off the couch and stop watching Parks and Recreation and try my hand at a new thing.
And so that was startup number two.
That was startup number two.
And so what happened when that crashed and burned? What did you watch?
Well, you know, it's funny is that I actually jumped pretty much straight into working at Prefer mm-hmm. Right after the second startup didn't work out.
Right.
And I think that I feel, knock on wood, that I'm a better contributor to teams that I work on, better person to decide what I want to spend my time on because mm-hmm. of the failures that I've been a part of. And I'm really happy where I am now. And I don't think I know that I never would have got to the position I'm at right now if it hadn't been for going through some of those very difficult challenges and seeing failure first right. up. I hope that it makes me someone who can make that, not happen for this one.
Right. And so the Jack that started with the first company to the Jack that's now, what are some of the concrete changes and things that are different that weren't there before, or what has been added in?
I think that I have a lot more. I've learned a lot about leadership.
What's one thing in leadership?
Well, one is management. Mm-hmm. I've been through an experience of actually having people report to me, mm-hmm. which is terrifying, but is a skill. I think it's something that some people are maybe more naturally disposed to it than others, but it's a skill. Everybody's got to work at it because mm-hmm. nobody knows how to do it. It's not an intuitive thing. Mm-hmm. It's something you only learn through doing. And I think that's something that I feel much more confident in now, having done it, than I was when I was Jack at that first startup.
Right.
That's something very concrete, I think, that I've had the opportunity to learn.
Great. So tell me, I want to know a little bit about Jack prior to startups, Jack, college. Who is Jack?
So, like I said, I grew up just outside Boston, a town called Winchester. Winchester is great, and I was raised in... I have a younger brother, younger sister. I was the oldest. I was actually raised... We went to a Unitarian church in town, and I think the thing I really liked about the Unitarians is that it's about being a part of a community of faith in people who have... People who have faith in something beyond themselves. It can be pretty broad what that is, but it's great to... It's a purposeful thing to be a part of, and a service was actually a really big part of that. And I'm 27 years old. My very first day of college was actually when Hurricane Katrina happened, 2005. So all of a sudden, we were going to go out. We were going to do service trips. And we had a direction. We had a focus. I was really excited, also a little apprehensive because I didn't really know what I was doing. But we went out there and did it. We raised money. And we went down to, in this case, Mississippi, and worked on things. And it was hard. And figuring out how to get by and tear down houses and not learn how to do a whole lot. And I think the thing that I loved about it most was not just the outcome of what we were making, but the process of doing it, being around people who believed in something that I did, made me feel very purposeful. And I think I wanted to get more of that feeling as often as I could. And I think that that experience, both in Mississippi and continuing it back, led me to the idea, actually, that I had been organized in kind of the traditional sense of community organizing work. And it drew me into wanting to learn more about that. And so, ultimately, I became incredibly invested in community organizing work. I think I see it as a practice of, as a form of leadership, of empowering others to take on responsibility in conditions of uncertainty. Believing that you can find purposeful work in doing it. And applying that to, I applied that to political campaigns, applied that to some grassroots work. And that led me through the political work into thinking about, you know what, figuring out how to build a grassroots movement is actually very similar to trying to create a whole company.
You know what popped into my head when I looked at you? My what popped into my head was like, 1960s, you would have been in that, you'd have been one of those kids that left the North and went to the South and went on the bus rides and was all in all, you know, I can't remember the story, but it's the, you
the
remind
Freedom
me
Riders.
Of, yeah, you would have been a Freedom Rider.
That's incredibly kind of you to say. One of my mentors in college was a Freedom Rider. And I think learning from him about what that story was like, I know that he's drawn a lot upon that, and they're an amazing example of a story of what I think very purposeful work can do.
Right. Yeah, that's what I picked up in looking at you, and that immediately popped into my head. This guy would have been a freedom rider.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to take 5 minutes, and we're going to be right back in two flicks of a donkey's tail.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Hi, this is Noreen Sumter, and we're back. And my breathing's gone back down, so I'm all good now. We're back, and it's Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And we are with Jack Cashin, who is a member of the Soloist Collective in New York, and also one of the founders or in the group of the people with prefer.com, which he's going to tell us a little bit more about.
Yeah, so I work on the operations team at Prefer. I've been there with Prefer since August of 2016. And falling
tell people what Prefer is.
Okay,
they
yeah.
don't know what that is.
Okay, so here you go, everybody. Prefer
this is his baby, and he loves to talk about this.
So Prefer is a startup. We have folks working here with me in New York. We've got a couple team members over in San Francisco as well. What we're trying to do is build technology that can help power what we think is the future of independent work. The idea that the workforce is becoming increasingly independent, and I think that requires a new set of tools to support those professionals. And what we now have as a product that we've put out a couple weeks ago is a really amazing networking platform where professionals can post a request of looking for clients, looking for collaborators, looking for business answers, and they can put that out to a network of hundreds of professionals in their city, and they can see who can help them. And of course, by turn, they can look through simply a card stack of requests from other professionals to look through swiping to see if they can help someone or if they can't. That hopefully feels like it mirrors very closely to the way that professionals help build each other's businesses every day.
You know, when you said swipe, it reminded me of Tinder.
Right. Yeah.
It's like you swipe right. But you don't have, you have a swipe to move it on, or you can hit the cross, the X mark.
You can exit
on,
out.
Or you can press the heart to actually help them.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. And yes, you're not the first person to see the similarity between the dating apps.
I think
and
it's the technology.
Stack.
It's
just the way
technology.
That technology
yeah,
is.
It is today. Yeah. And so I'm going to give you an idea. I'm just going to share with the listeners what it is for me and how I see it. So it's, it is a form of, if you know BNI, which is Business Networking International, or like I like to say, BRG, Business Referral Groups, or any of these business referral groups that you might go to once a week, once every 2 weeks, or once a month in the city. What it is that technology, that type of technology in the form of real technology, which lives in the palm of your, in the palm of your hand, which is your cell phone, or lives on your computer. Am I right? Did I get it right?
That was pretty good. That was pretty great. Yeah, you know, I think the whole way we built this was by listening to people and understanding how do they go about making asks and requests to their professional community. And BRG, BNI, two great examples of that. And it should feel similar if we're doing our job right.
Well, I want you to know that our suggestion that we came up with the other day, I went online today to see if my people had joined, and a good portion of my people have joined.
Oh, that's great.
Preferred and made requests. And also I received a request that I made. I made a request for individuals that are going through breakups, either divorces or breaking up with their boyfriends who are stuck in a rut, stuck in a lump and need some support in getting out of that. So I made a request and I got like another person today for that. So that's pretty good.
That's amazing. You know, we're still so early in building this that I love hearing these stories.
Yes.
Because it's just, it feels very special to have built something that even these can make these individual stories happen.
So tell me, what is it that, what's your vision for Prefer? And then I want to know about your vision for your life.
Okay. Two big ones. We'll start with big question number one. Right now, Prefer is being used by groups of networking professionals in New York City. And I think we want to do that really, really well.
And what's the purpose? Well, I mean, other than the obvious, what is the purpose? What is your purpose for that?
Oh, I think we believe that this tool and the future, you know, iterations of it that we haven't even developed yet can be something that powers the future of work. We think that
say more about that.
We think that the traditional way of people working for a firm for their career is increasingly obsolete. We see more and more people leaving traditional 9-to-5s to follow their passion, find their potential, and start their own careers. And that's a really hard thing to do. And I think that people love what they're doing because they're finally spending all their time and taking control over their professional careers. Mm-hmm. But it's always hard to find clients, to get those clients to come back, figure out all the back office work of running a business that is not super intuitive. Mm-hmm. And it can feel very lonely. I think it can be very isolating to run your own business.
Right.
And I think the thought that all the skills and resources and leads for clients and opportunities for collaboration can come from the network of professionals who live or work in your city mm-hmm. is a way that holds the power for that better future of work within the people who are actually doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that the tools we're building with Prefer are something that can unlock that potential for people and truly create something that I think is a very exciting future of work in this country.
So when you went to college, I mean, let me just back up before I ask that question. What did your parents do?
Yeah, so my mom works at a nonprofit called mm-hmm. South Africa Partners mm-hmm. Because I actually lived in South Africa for a year mm-hmm. when I was younger, and we have such an amazing group of friends there. This is my mom's way of continuing to stay in touch with South Africa. And my dad is an administrator at Harvard University.
Okay. So they both held traditional jobs, as in going to work.
They did.
Yeah. So who in your family is an entrepreneur, a solopreneur? Do you have any of those people?
Well, like I said, I'm the oldest. Mm-hmm. I think in many ways, though he's within a more traditional system, my brother is training to become an elementary school teacher. And a lot of the ways that he's figuring out how to do that remind me of the ways that a lot of solopreneurs in New York City are going about figuring out how to build their business. I know my younger sister is still in college. She's trying to figure out what to do. She loves working with kids, so we'll see if she goes that soloist route. But I wouldn't be surprised if she did,
right,
because that's just the way that things are now.
So looking at where we are now and where we're going into the future, because I've always thought this, everybody is going to, it seems as though most people are going to be working on their passions. Mm. Do you think, what is your feeling about that? Like, I mean, have you ever had a traditional 9-to-5, get up and go to work kind of job?
Well, you know, I get up and go to work.
Yeah, I know
and
that. But, you know,
generally working 9-to-5, but I think that I love the uncertainty that comes with working in the startup world. Mm-hmm. I think that what I like about it is that there's no playbook to follow. There's no script that you're mm-hmm. handed mm-hmm. on. This is the way the business needs to work. These are the calls you need to make. You need to figure that out on your own. And I think that's really exciting. And I think it's a bit scary, but I think that uncomfortableness that you might feel with not necessarily knowing the playbook pushes you to go beyond what you're familiar with and realize new things that you can achieve if you try it.
So you like challenges?
I like challenges because I think that even if I don't get to where I thought I would be, uh-huh. I come out of the challenge slightly different than I came into it. Mm. And I think that's a good thing. And I think that's one great thing about why increasingly people are going to be independent, because that means more and more people are going to be put into that position where they're faced with a challenge they're not sure they're going to be able to overcome. Mm-hmm. But in that pursuit, I think going back to the kind of the organizing part, the purpose comes in the pursuit and
right.
giving it a try, because it's worth doing. And wherever you end up is probably where you're meant to.
So let me ask you another question. So in terms of, I'm just going to say, like, just look, let's just go into the future and
okay.
just like make this up. But if everyone on the planet was pursuing their own interest, i.e. their own passion and things like that, what do you think we are going to be creating?
I think we're going to be a lot more creative.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're going to have a lot more empathy in this
world.
Say
more about that.
I think that one thing I've loved about building the Soloist Collective, meeting so many independent professionals around the city, is that people do so many different things. You as a
personal life coach,
think about very different and do very different things than say a personal trainer mm-hmm. or an acupuncturist or a dog walker. Right. But the questions that you're trying to figure out of how do I figure out how to explain what my business is? How do I make sure I'm delivering service? How do I make sure my clients pay me? How do I figure out how to get to the next level that I dreamed of when I started this business? is very universal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the more that everyone is out there facing those challenges, looking at that next hill to climb, the more that everyone's going to realize that they're thinking about the same things, even if the expression of that is a coaching session or
dog walking session.
A dog walking class or acupuncture session.
Right. I think you're absolutely right in that even though we're all doing separate things, we're all doing similar things.
Yes.
Like the building in a similar way. And mm-hmm. we all have a mission to accomplish. And the beauty of it, what I see, is that each and every person is doing something that it hones their own spirit or develops their own spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. Do you think that it's healthy and normal for, or do you think we are designed as human beings to sit at a 9-to-5?
I think it's easy. I think there's a comfort to it.
What's easy? Tell me what's easy about it for you.
I think the thought that knowing what your day is going to look like mm-hmm. is great. And I think stability is important. I think that stability can bring a lot of happiness and peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a traditional 9-to-5 can do that. I think what it may not necessarily do is give you the opportunity to make sure that you're spending all your time and energy on something that you truly care about.
Well, you should. Yeah.
And I think that's perfectly fine for people to want to continue to work in a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm. I think it's perfectly fine. Also, I think what's important is that you find a 9-to-5 that you love.
Yeah. And I think you don't always.
Right.
And I think a really bold and exciting and somewhat frightening way to do that is to say, you know what, I'm going to make my own 9-to-5.
Right.
And I'm going to go do my own thing. And I think it's really exciting to see more and more people doing that every day.
Yeah, I do too. So just one last question before we go to break. If you were, just say, you know, there was no more startups and you weren't allowed to do startups anymore, ever. And you had to have a 9-to-5 working for somebody, what would that look like?
You know, I think that I would want to be working 9-to-5 in support of someone who I think I could learn a lot from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that...
It's a corporation.
Yeah, it's a corporation. Okay, I think if... I think that... you kind of got me there.
That's why I said corporation.
Yeah.
Because an individual, to work for an individual would be great because you could hone your skills and learn from him. But if it's a corporation where you're clocking in and you're a number, it's like, tell me how you're going to get out of that one.
Yeah. You know, I think that if I do decide that to do that in the future, I think that having gone through this process of not working that traditional job will make me really understand why it is that I want to do that.
Right.
You know, again, I think the idea that you can have a pretty stable job if you feel really strongly about the product that corporation is putting out. That's mm-hmm. amazing. And they usually pay pretty well.
Yeah.
Which is always a nice thing. So.
All right. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hello, this is Bruce Chamoff, host of The Web Design and Technology Coach. Join me and my guests every Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. as we discuss the latest in web design, social media marketing, search engine optimization, and technology. We also discuss popular topics including WordPress, making money online, better Google rankings, and more. Every month, we also feature the best unsigned music from around the world right here on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Thank you.
going hot. This is Noreen Sumter. We've got Susumu at the microphone, and I'm going hot. Thank you. He's so strict. So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, and I'm speaking to Jack Cashin, who is one of the members of the Soloist Collective and also prefer.com. And I think that, you know, if you're a listener, you should go in and just check it out. If you're an Apple user, you can go to the Apple store and download the ad. If you are an Android, unfortunately, but you know, we still rock Android people, you have to go into Google and pull it up that way, but it's still effective. So Jack, tell us a little bit more about Prefer.
Okay. Yeah. So
what are you, here's, let me give you, what would you like me to ask you? Tell me what you want me to ask you and I'll ask you.
Okay. Well, I think that I want you to ask me about how Prefer got to the point where it let me and a bunch of other folks build a professional networking organization called Soloist Collective.
Okay, so Jack, how did Prefer allow you and a bunch of other people to build the Soloist Collective?
It's pretty amazing, actually.
Why not share with us?
That a startup has given us the opportunity to build a very volunteer leader-owned community organization, mm-hmm. like the Soloist Collective. And I think that very much, and that's been something that I've found very fulfilling about being a part of that team, because I feel like I've been on a journey these past 5 years of thinking about that intersection of...
When he was, what, 21 or something? 22?
Yeah, but still a journey.
I know. I'm just teasing.
Of, you know, what does it look like? Where are the opportunities for overlap between building a startup, mm-hmm. and building a community in that traditional grassroots sense? Mm-hmm. And it started because Prefer was trying to rethink what kind of product we were putting out there. There was something we initially put out that kind of worked, but it wasn't going to lead to the path of, I think, truly kind of serving that nationwide independent workforce the mm-hmm. way we wanted to. And we knew that we needed to build something that really solved key problems for professionals in a way that was familiar to
them. Well, that's what it is. It's like anybody that has a business, you have a business because it's a problem that you want to solve.
Yeah.
Right? And
exactly.
Then you have to find the people that want to have that problem solved and want you to solve that problem. It's a lot of problems.
Exactly. And it seemed like there was an opportunity for community organizing to possibly be a solution mm-hmm. to that. Or if not the main solution, a strong partner in that, in mm-hmm. truly understanding and creating that empathy that I think is needed to create a really great product.
So let me ask you a question in terms of economics.
Yeah.
How is and will the so either the Soloist or Prefer.com, will they at some point institute some money collecting?
So one thing that we're really lucky with is that we're a venture-backed startup. Uh-huh. We have investors who've given some money to this idea that allow us to figure out how to go truly build something that delivers a lot of value to people, that works so well that people will tell their friends about it, mm-hmm. that it can get to scale. Mm-hmm. So that at that point, I think it could create a lot more opportunities to institute things like a revenue stream, right? Which ultimately is just part of business. You need
so,
to do that.
So to scale, when you say to scale, what would to scale look like?
I think if you look at it right now, 35% of the American workforce is independent. Mm-hmm. That's growing all the time. Mm-hmm. That's easily 100 million professionals in New York City. I'm sorry, in New York City.
I was about to say, really? No wonder I couldn't get on the subway this evening.
Across the country, who are thinking about how can I build my business? Mm-hmm. How can I make it grow? And are going to look to networks of other professionals to make that happen. And I think every single one of them could benefit from using something like Prefer. And that's what the scale looks like. That's what we're thinking about here.
And do you think it will be like a pay service, or do you think it will be run by, I'm just making this up, but mm-hmm. do you think it'd be run by commercials?
So we'll see. I think that there's a lot of different avenues we go. I think an example of something we could definitely think about, right, is the idea of a sponsored post, right? Noreen, you talked about, you know, your post in the last segment that you got some requests for. Mm-hmm. I bet if this was something that really brought you business, you would love the idea of paying a little extra to promote it so more people would see it, right?
Well, you know what? I had a thought, and I saw this with a movie a couple of months ago. There was this movie that you could actually download, and if you like the movie, you could pay, you know, a fee. You could give them a donation.
Huh.
Could it be something in that realm, like an honor system?
We could certainly think about it. Yeah, it's funny. I it's really exciting, I think, to brainstorm about these things, because I think all of this is great. All of it doesn't matter.
Right.
If we can't build something that really works today,
right,
that people find a lot of value from. And we're spending all our time thinking about how to do that, because then that makes these kinds of conversations possible.
Well, so. There was something that I was going to ask you, and it went right out of my head, you know, that net. I left my net at home. It was something to do with, I don't know. Let's go on to another subject.
Well, I could talk a little more about the Soloist Collective.
Go on, talk a little bit more about the Soloist Collective.
So
we'll come back.
We started the first chapter of the Soloist Collective last August.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Parkside.
Just August?
Just August, yeah.
How many chapters do you have now?
We have 13 chapters around New York City.
Uh-huh.
We have another 7 chapters in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And there are actually chapters
this just started last year.
Last August.
Last
That's right.
August. So yep. It's not even a year yet.
Not even a year. And a couple other sprinkled throughout the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the idea of why the Soloist Collective is growing and why folks are taking on leadership positions to make it happen is, like I said, over a third of the workforce is independent. And that's really great. That's a lot of people feeling ownership over the way they spend their time, feeling very purposeful with the direction of mm-hmm. their professional careers. But there's also a lot of fears people have that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. right? Of how you build up your business, how you keep that business, mm-hmm. and what to
do
when
you're
working. How to keep your apartment, which often is your office,
mm-hmm.
right? Your cell phone, which is often your work phone.
Mm-hmm.
And how you do that when you might feel like you don't have any coworkers anymore. And I think that there's this theory of change there, that all the skills you would need to start a business, to build that business up to become successful, and find meaning in that work while you do it, to be able to work independently but not be alone,
mm-hmm.
can come from building and tapping into a network of independent professionals who live and work near you. And that's what we're doing with the Soloist Collective.
Right. And so we were in, what was the name of that place we were on Friday when we met?
Oh, that was a cafe in Fort Greene.
Yeah. What was it called again?
It was called The Annex.
Right.
Or you called it The Mac Store.
I call it The Mac Store. It's called The Annex, and it's a coffee shop. And I call it The Mac Store because every single, you know, computer in there is a Mac, right? So I just call it the Mac Store because you can sit from the outside or walk by and you just see this whole stream of Macs lined up on the stools, on the tables, and people are just typing away. So now the Soloist Collective, okay, here's a thing that like would be great. So we do work alone, most of us, independent solopreneurs. And could there be some kind of notification? I'm just making this up, right?
Let's do it. Let's roll.
Some kind of notification on the Soloist Collective preferred technology, whereby if we were in that coffee shop, a little bing would go off and say, this person is in the Soloist Collective, this person is in the Soloist Collective, so that we, I mean, it sounds a little cultish, but you know, so that we could actually connect.
So that's not as far-fetched, that's not as crazy as you think.
No, I don't think it's crazy, I think it's awesome.
That's actually something that we've thought about doing and, mm-hmm. and even had for a little bit in the Prefer app, the ability mm-hmm. to see professionals who are near you.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know what? We should talk about that with the leaders. Actually, my colleague Jessica is thinking a lot about how to work with all these leaders to mm-hmm. build things that will connect more people in the Soloist Collective with each other. Maybe find my soloists app.
Yeah, find,
or something
find my
like
soloist
that,
buddies.
Could really work.
Yeah, find
yeah,
my peeps.
Idea.
Find my peeps because
yeah.
if it's a collective, you want to know who is a part of it, even though
yeah.
it does sound like something out of like Space Odyssey 10001 or whatever, right? It's you want to find you know, nasty stormtroopers walking. No, I'm kidding, right? But yeah, you want to see who's in the group and who you're connected to. I think that would be an awesome idea.
Okay, I'll ask Jessica what she thinks.
No, I think it's really great. But like, yes, when you go, I work in the coffee shop, and right, so I'm a social being. So I'll meet people in the coffee shop. They'll see me over and over again. And this is my thing. I have my desk in the coffee shop is behind the refrigerator, right? So I come in, I hook up, I bring my extension cord. right? I plug my phone in, I plug my computer in, and I plug whatever devices I'm working with. And I sit at that little desk all day and I eat my breakfast, my lunch, and sometimes dinner there, right? Because I don't leave till like six or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now it's gotten to the point where people know that is my seat. And when I walk in there, they go like this, oh God. And it's kind of like,
oh, man,
people now kind of move, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I scream laughing. Like if somebody's sitting there and they don't know me, right, and they're getting ready to go, I usually go like, are you getting ready to leave? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, great. And I start laughing because they're like, why is she so? I said, that's my seat. I usually sit there. Mm-hmm. But yes, that's most of us. We are creatures of habits. And so we will go to our little spots and go in our little collectives and do our little networking, because it is networking after all.
Totally.
Right. And so we can literally have our little cocoon and create our businesses inside of that. And I think that for me, that's what the soloist is, or the prefer.com is.
Absolutely. And I think that there are, one thing I think is so great is there's a lot of people in the soloist collective who are part of other networking groups like yourself.
Yes, of course.
I think they really complement each other. And I think that a lot of these other networking groups try and really drive towards outcomes of referral business, which is great because people need referral business. But I think what we're trying to say is we're actually trying to build a highly local network, your neighbors, right? And I think there's something about being in a room with your neighbors that makes people open up a little bit more and feel comfortable to actually talk about some of those scary
questions. Well, it depends on who you talk about. It depends on who you talk about that. Because in New York, most people, like, they don't even know their neighbors.
Yeah. And you know what? I think actually one thing about, maybe that's a unique thing we're seeing here in New York with the Soloist Collective, is people being surprised that their neighbors are actually really nice people in a city like this where it's really loud and everyone's rushing wherever they want to go.
New Yorkers are great. I love New Yorkers. We're all great. So the I got it. We got you're so funny.
Okay.
So connecting. Okay, so we have the soloists, we're all independently employed, we're all somewhat isolated. I mean, this is an opportunity to connect, but it's to connect inside of our business. What about like the social thing?
Oh, social is huge.
I think talk about some social stuff that you guys do.
We in January we wanted to get everybody together across all 13 Soloist Collective chapters. It's about 1,600 people at this point in New York City. And we ran out a restaurant, and all the leaders from the different chapters helped volunteer to run the door, run coat check, check people in, and say a few words. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And I think people felt this common identity as soloists. Mm-hmm. They really opened them up to get to know each other and chat. And it didn't matter if you met someone who does a very similar thing to you. There's enough business in the city for
absolutely.
Everyone.
That's one of the things I like about the soloist. There is enough business for everyone. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if I do it the same as what you do, because the truth of the matter is I'm going to do it differently.
And the social part is important because you do business and care about people you get to know. And sure, you can get to know people when you hear a 30-second commercial, but you're going to get to know somebody better when you can actually get coffee or a beer with them. Cool. And that's the social part.
All right. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on the show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
talkingalternative.com.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. My voice sounds really raspy and sexy. Beyond Potential, live life your way. And I am speaking with Jack Cashin. We're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about the glitches, because there are glitches. And I nearly got into a fight last week with somebody about the glitches. And also we're going to talk about you and your music.
Oh, great.
What do you want to talk about first?
Why don't we talk about my music?
Okay, talk about your music. Let's. Okay. What instrument do you play?
I'm a saxophone player.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
How long have you been doing that?
Since I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. Are you good?
I think I'm all right. I think I'm good enough. Yeah, I'm good. Sure.
Good.
Okay.
I'm glad you caught yourself.
At some point, you got to say it. So.
Have you created anything?
I have, yeah. Here in New York for the last 4 years, been in a rock band.
Oh, cool. Called saxophone in a rock band?
You better believe it. Some of the best rock bands ever have had saxophones in them, like Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band. And we're called 3,000 Rivers.
Uh-huh.
And
how'd you get that name?
So we like to think up funny names about explanations about why we got that name.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, it came from a lyric of one of our first songs.
Oh, okay.
So that's why we're called TTR, as people like to call it. Also,
look at you. You're all excited talking about it.
Oh, it's great. It's fun. How can you not like it, you know, when you're playing music in front of people? Another band I'm in back home with some friends called Buck Wild.
Uh-huh.
We're kind of like your traditional garage band.
Uh-huh.
We've played four shows to date, one of them in a music club in Boston.
Uh-huh.
But 3,000 Rivers, we played all kind of those Lower East Side music clubs that you think of.
And they pay you?
And they pay you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not a lot. It always depends on how many people you can turn out.
Right.
But it's exciting. And it's usually people you really know and love that are coming out to see you. And that's special.
So do you write your own lyrics and songs and stuff?
We do.
And how many people in the band?
So there are five of us.
Mm-hmm.
And really our band leader, his name is Noam. He,
Noam,
N-O-A-M.
Noam.
Yes.
Okay.
He does a lot of the lead singing, and he's our lead singer. He does a lot of the songwriting. What's really nice is he kind of creates this skeleton and kind of idea of a song, and then it's on all of us to fill it out and create it.
More collective.
Exactly. Put all the minds together. You create a sum that's greater than the parts.
Mm-hmm.
So
one question just popped up. When you were in school, like high school or, you know, junior high or whatever.
Yeah.
Where were you? Were you a popular guy? Were you a nerd? Where were you in that American dichotomy?
Okay. So I think that, you know, I think that in middle school I was very much kind of the nerd. I think I was much shyer than I am now.
Uh-huh.
I think that it took me a while to be confident enough that that I could really hang with all these other people that I really liked and wanted to hang out with, that they would want to hang out with me too.
The cool people.
Yeah. No, that really mattered when you're that age. I think that. I think I've been lucky in that I've always seemed to get along with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Really got to know everybody. I love running into people. I feel like in New York you run into people you haven't seen in 10 years, and all of a sudden you think it's a huge city, and then you realize it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I get really excited when that happens. I think because I really felt like I connected and got to know a lot of people when I was growing up in high school. And that's still really special to me.
Right.
That home still matters a lot.
So you kind of bloomed when you got to high school.
I think so.
Good.
Yeah.
And so how has New York City changed you? Or has it changed you? Or what has it brought out? Maybe that's a better question.
Well, I think, I just think New York is the most exciting place in the world.
High five.
I think on the music side, you can go see amazing music every night.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that respect, I'm probably, spending more money on music than maybe I should. going out to see things, you know, one or two nights a week.
One or two nights. Jack, where do you find the time? You're forever up at 6 a.m, this and the time, and here and there, and going to bed late.
Well,
no.
You know, music does not stop for anybody. You know, if you want to go see it, it's there. Part of the great thing is everyone that you'd ever want to see in New York in music is going to be in New York in the next 4 or 5 months.
Right.
And it's just on you to go figure out and chase it.
And so just on that question, how do you manage your time? Like, how do you, what do you do first thing in the morning? What time do you get up?
I could always be better at it. I actually think time management is something that I'm trying to work on right now. I think sometimes things can pile up a little bit. And I think that I'm always not as, I'm not as proactive as I could be in whittling that down and planning out ahead. My calendar is really important. If things don't get on my calendar, then I'm going to forget about it. I've always tried different to-do apps and everything, and just with some success, but not yet to the point
there's
I want.
There's nothing better than your calendar. Just put it in the calendar.
Yeah, put it in the calendar. It depends. If I'm going to these networking meetings where I'm seeing you, Noreen, then I'm waking up at 5:45. but I strategically have planned a lot of these Soulless Collective meetings to not start till 8:30 or 9 o'clock because I would love to not wake up at 5:45 in the morning to go meet a lot of people.
And how do you manage, you know, like I can go out to one event or two events for the week and come away with like, God knows how many business cards.
Yep.
How do you manage that?
Well, follow-up's really key.
Follow-up is important.
Right. So I try and take the, you know, a lot of these places will have a roster or take the list of business cards and send emails out to everybody. So even if I can't hold on to all the physical business cards, it lives in my inbox. If I'm really on top of it, there'll be a spreadsheet that has all the people that I've contacted so that can, you know, I can remember where I met everybody and how I know them. But it's hard, you know, and I think one thing that's hard is I still think it is always hard to go out and to put on your best face at events all the time, particularly if they're early in the morning or even at night. And I think it's a big deal whenever you're hosting an event and anybody shows up whatsoever. I still think that's something you can't take for granted.
No, you can't. You totally can't take that for
granted. And I think there's always a little bit of fear of, okay, you know, what's going to happen? What is anybody going to show up?
That's always there, no matter what. You know, even if you've got like RSVPs up the yin yang, or they've paid.
You never know.
You just don't know.
And I think something, particularly if you're leading a meeting, is that, you know what? Other people are probably a little apprehensive and hope other people are going to show up too.
Yes.
And they're going to be looking to you to put on the best face, and they're going to need to see that you're confident in what you're doing, because if you're not confident, then they're not going to be confident.
Have you found that in New York City, like you just say, you have an event, like I do the Lunch and Learn, which is sponsored by whoever sponsored it. Last month was sponsored by Merrill Lynch. This month it's going to be sponsored by PayPal. And this is an event that I curate on behalf of NABO, and it's a Lunch and Learn, and I pick and choose who's going to do their spiel and who's going to present that week, that time. And what I've found is that in New York, some people will register at the very beginning. You'll get like a drip of people registering at the beginning. And then the week of, it's like, oh my God, you may only have like a sprinkling of people, but the couple of days before, it's like a rush of people. Do you find that that's how we do in New York?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that there's so many things going on in the city. There's always things that are competing for people's interests. I think it makes it challenging it makes you not necessarily count on the people who RSVP for things to know that they're going to show up. You have to account for a lot of drop off. And then that also means you're going to see a lot of people last minute decision making to go there. And there's a lot of uncertainty there. I think there's just so many people in the city that you always want to get the word out about what you're doing. And, I think you start to figure it out, right? I think it sounds like you've got a pretty good finger on the pulse for the cadence of it.
Yeah, it does work like that, but it still doesn't take the angst out of it. Like, who's going to show?
No.
You know,
but you know what? If we even were in New York City and we were in a beautiful suburban town where everyone knew each other and everyone grew up with each other,
you'd still
have the
concern.
Same thing.
Yeah,
and that's just what comes with the territory of running and planning meetings. You just gotta have bring that fortitude up.
I would say you got big balls or big boobs and just bang it up against the wall and make it happen.
Gotta make it happen.
That's the
only way to do it is to make it happen.
That was very graphic. So anyway, we've come to the end of our show. I just want to thank you so much.
Well, how was
your first time?
You know, I did it. I'm a radio expert now.
That's right.
Yeah. Here we go.
So, I was going to say something, but it wouldn't be PC.
Yeah.
But we got it.
Everyone knew.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I hope you had as good a time as I did. And I love, you want to give a shout out to prefer.com again, let people know. And then we're going to sign out and say goodbye.
Yeah. Shout out to prefer.com, especially if you live in New York. You should give it a try. It's free to use, free to sign up. prefer.com.
That's right, prefer.com. And this is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential. Live life your way, signing off. And I promise I will be on time and have my full breath next week. Bye!
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential. Live life your way on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth from Nourish the Soul, and on this show, you will uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to having a healthy relationship to food and your body. Join us every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.